One mistake can cost you thousands of dollars and enough nightmares to rob you of your sleep for quite some time. So why take the risk? In today's podcast, we'll cover the proven marketing process you need to prevent landlord nightmares so that you can sleep well at night, knowing that you have done everything you can to reduce your level of risk, protect your investment from financial loss, and provide a housing solution to the best qualified tenants. Stay tuned, and we'll get started in just a minute. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris, and I want to thank you for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. If you want to be a more informed, better educated, and successful landlord, then stay tuned. With over a decade of property management experience, we bring you short and sweet, bite-sized pieces of incredibly valuable property management tidbits in 15 minutes or less. Landlording is already somewhat risky as it is. You buy a property with the expectation that you are going to be able to make a return on it and that you will be able to generate revenue and that you will be able to find qualified tenants and that you will eventually be able to buy maybe another property and so on and so forth. Rarely do people get into it and just have one rental property. There's plenty of people that do that, but even with just one property, the goal is generally not to lose money on that rental property. And sometimes that can be easier said than done. And generally the people who get more than one property, especially when it comes to single family homes, is to try to hedge against loss. Because if you just have one property and you lose that one tenant or that tenant stops paying, then you've lost all of your revenue from all of your rentals because you only have that one property. Whereas if you buy a second and a third and a fourth property and you lose one tenant or one tenant stops paying, well, you still have the other two or three or four tenants that are paying their rent. So you still have that rental revenue coming in. So to eliminate the risk when going through or thinking through a marketing process for advertising a vacant rental unit or creating a screening criteria to make sure you're getting the best tenants, or how to pre-screen people so that you're not wasting your time, how to show your rentals so that you're also not wasting time and showing your rental to people who aren't ultimately going to be interested in your rental property after they see it. These are all things that you have to throw into what I like to call the marketing process for renting out your unit every time that you have a vacant unit. And it's important to really think through this process and come out with a set and proven process. And lucky for you and lucky for me, there have already been people through the past decade or more who have really hammered it down into a very proven process that really works. And you might have to tweak it a little bit for your specific rental, for your specific area. But the bottom line is it is a process that works. So I'm going to really quickly go through these 10 items and we'll get more into these with future podcasts. In fact, we've already covered a lot of these in individual podcasts. So I definitely recommend that you go back through and listen to some of the podcasts that have to do with listings, screenings, background check stuff. If you're having to do an adverse action letter, that type of thing, I recommend that you go back through and listen to any of the podcasts that have that, any of those words in the title of the podcast. You'll get a lot of information from that and you can connect that into this podcast. And of course, we'll have a future podcast that cover more of these in depth, but you may want to grab a pen and paper or a tablet or something to take down notes with and just put down these 10 things. I'm going to run through these real quick. Number one is creating a tenant screening criteria. I cannot stress why this is number one enough because you need to have this in writing. This needs to be This is a protection piece, and it's also something that you need for when you do decline somebody. You need to be able to point to something in writing saying, this is why you were declined, and I disclosed this early on in the process. A tenant screening criteria basically says which tenants you're going to accept and which tenants you're not going to accept. And so it could be you have to have a credit score over X amount, or it may need to be you have to have a certain amount of income, or it may be something criminally background related that you won't accept at your property. Anything like that at all has to be in writing in a tenant screening criteria, and it needs to be disclosed to the applicant, to the person interested in your rental property, at that very first moment, the minute somebody says, can I have an application to apply for your rental? Possibly even earlier. You may even want to display it even earlier in the process, depending on where your rental is, what type of rental it is, and how quickly you're trying to pre-screen tenants out of your sales funnel, your leasing funnel, so that you and the tenant can both save each other's time and move on to the next rental, and you can move on to the next potentially qualified tenant, so that you guys, you're mutually benefiting each other. Number two, advertise your rental. You need to make sure that you are advertising your rental on the proper platform. It's said that when it comes to divorces, people who are married by the age of 20 or at the age of 20 are 50% more likely to divorce than someone who marries at the age of 25 or over. Why? They believe it's because in part due to the maturity of and the development of the brain. And a 20-year-old is definitely less developed than a 25-year-old. So you're probably wondering, okay, well, what does that have to do with advertising my rental? Well, you need to make sure that you are making sure that before you walk down the aisle with that tenant, that you are properly advertising it so that you end up with a number of qualified tenants, not from a very small pool of tenants, so that you can find the best qualified tenant that matches your screening criteria. And so you want to make sure that you're not just advertising it in one place. For instance, some people really love something like Craigslist, or maybe the Facebook Marketplace, or maybe Zillow or Apartments.com or some of those sites. And they'll pick one place and they'll advertise to that one place because that's the place that they've gotten all their tenants in the past. And that could be a mistake, because you might be missing out on more qualified tenants on different platforms. And maybe your demographic is not actually using the platform that you think they are. And so it's important to do that research early on when advertising your rental. You need to find out, first of all, where is your rental demographic? Where are the people who are most likely or going to be most qualified for your rental? Where are they looking for rental properties? Because not all platforms are made alike. Not everybody looks for rentals on the same platform. Second of all, is making sure that your descriptions, your marketing description, your photos, all of those things are geared towards that demographic that you are looking for, so that you find that most qualified tenant and that you get more people to apply, so that you have a larger pool of applicants to choose from. Because if you're only getting two people to apply to your rental each time, you only have two people to choose from. Whereas if you have 10 people to pick an application from, the chances of finding a more qualified or better qualified tenant from that pool of 10 applicants is extremely important. Now, it is important in the screening the screening criteria early on that you also tell people who gets approved for your rental. And you'll want to check a lot of these things. You're going to need to make sure that you're following according to your state and federal laws, of course. But one of the things that we would do in the state of Texas is you had to indicate on the screening criteria, if you were going to accept the first qualified applicant or if you were going to accept the best qualified applicant, and you needed to put that in the screening criteria. So again, check where you're at, but that is something that I highly recommend that you do, that you indicate early on. Are you going to choose the best qualified applicant or are you going to choose the first qualified applicant? That makes a big difference. Moving on to number three, pre-screening interested renters. Pre-screening renters is extremely important. It will save you lots of time. It will save your potential applicant a lot of time. You don't want to show your rental to every single person who says, hey, I'd like to tour your rental property. You want to ask some qualifying questions. And again, you need to be careful with these because you can't be violating any fair housing laws or anything of that nature. You need to only ask questions that are related specifically to your property to make sure that it's a good match for the person who is looking for your rental. Maybe they are looking for a pool and you don't have a pool. And so maybe you ask questions about, okay, great, I'm glad to hear that you're interested in my property. What are some of the key things that you're looking for in a rental? And they may say, well, I need to be close to a dog park because I have a dog and yours doesn't have a yard. Well, maybe you are 10 miles from the closest dog park and that might not be a good fit for you. And maybe if you disclose that early on, that will help them to make that decision also early on to say, well, you know what, I actually wouldn't be interested in that. I'm glad you told me that because you would have wasted my time if I'd showed up and the closest dog park or whatever was 10 miles away. I wanted something within like 2 miles. I'm just using silly examples, but they're examples to help you to think about what are some of the questions that you might want to ask in the pre-screening process. So you could even ask questions like, well, do you know what your credit score is? Because we have a minimum credit score of 625. And they may say, oh yeah, I'm nowhere near that. I'm like a 580. Okay, cool. Well, unfortunately, you probably wouldn't qualify for the rental. You're welcome to put in an application if you want, but that is our requirement for the rental property. And so by doing that early on, you're going to eliminate tire kickers and people who really aren't going to end up qualifying for your rental anyway. And again, saves you time, saves them time. Everybody can move on in the process. Number four, when you are showing your rental, you need to focus on how and when and who and all of the logistics around showing your rental. You want to make sure that you are practicing safety practices. You want to make sure that you are spotting signs early on of a potentially unqualified tenant or somebody who may be a no-show. You want to make sure that you're implementing steps in your showing, your touring process that make sure that you don't drive to the rental and the other person's not even intending on going there, which happens a lot. If you speak to any real estate agent who is involved in touring rentals, they will tell you firsthand that that is one of the biggest pains for them in the leasing process is no-shows. And the best agents, the best landlords are the ones who are very efficient at weeding those out and eliminating those from their schedule because it can really, really get you down and just suck up a lot of your time. So whether you do things like group tours where you only tour your rental property once or twice a week and you schedule everybody for that one day at that one time, or whatever it is, you want to make sure that you have an effective and efficient touring process in place and a method that you can use to prevent no-shows and things of that nature. Number five, collect rental applications. You need to have an effective and compliant rental application process that will gather all of the details all at once so that you're not scrambling back and forth trying to communicate with the tenant saying, oh, I forgot to get this, or, oh, hey, can you send me that? Can you upload this? Can you upload that? Oh, I need you to do this. No. You need to have a very efficient and very streamlined rental application process, and you also need to make sure that it is compliant with your area, with your city. And so you want to make sure that you really focus on this process. Having an online rental application, one that you can customize, is extremely important in this process. And also a place where the tenant doesn't have to come back to you or fax you because people don't really have fax machines anymore. A lot of people don't even have anything to upload stuff. They can usually just take a picture with their phone, which is not always the best way to send a document. And so having a online application where things can be done online, digitally, e-signed, all of that stuff is extremely important. Number six, run a background check. This is another huge key piece in the marketing process of getting your rental leased up. And you need to make sure that the background check that you are using is adequate and that it's finding the information necessary to find the best qualified tenant. And so, of course, being a Tenant Cloud podcast, all things that are actually integrated into Tenant Cloud. So the background, the screening check, the full screening check, including a credit check, all that stuff is fully integrated into Tenant Cloud. The rental application, it's online, it's fully integrated into Tenant Cloud. showing your rental. We have a CRM, a customer relationship management tool that's integrated into Tenant Cloud so that you can conduct tours with your tenants, schedule appointments, put follow-up notes, what was discussed with the tenant or with the applicant, all of that stuff. Pre-screening, you can customize your application. You can ask questions. You can add your own questions in there. Advertising your rental. That stuff is all inside of Tenant Cloud. With one click of a button, you can syndicate your rental out to multiple listing websites, not just one. And all of this, like I said, is all in Tenant Cloud. You can even create a tenant screening criteria, like with the first item we discussed. And you can customize your own tenant screening criteria that's displayed right there early on in the leasing process. So moving on to the last couple here, number 7 is you want to verify applicant details. You don't necessarily always want to just rely on a background check for grading a tenant. You want to verify details such as their current and previous landlord. You want to verify that they're still employed. You want to verify the information that they provided with you as far as how much money they earn. If you have questions about a pay stub, because we've discussed this on previous podcasts, not all pay stubs are legit. There are actually websites out there that you can go on, plug in information, and it will create a fake pay stub for you specifically for the intent to qualify for things that you are not qualified for, including rentals. And so usually there's things you can pick up on those pay stubs. And if you have questions or concerns, you're going to want to reach out to their place of employment to verify that that information is accurate that they've provided you with. And so that type of verification is extremely important when it comes to verifying applicant details. Number 8, selecting your tenant. This can be slightly scary, especially if it's your first time as a landlord selecting a tenant. And you want to make sure that you have done all of your due diligence. You want to make sure you've done steps 1 through 7. And if you've done steps 1 through 7, then it should make this number 8, selecting your tenant, slightly easier to do in the process, because you will have a pool of tenants that have been pre-screened and have been qualified for your rental property. And it just should be a whole lot easier at this point to now make a decision and say, yep, this applicant is the best tenant for my rental property. Number 9, for those that you do not approve to your rental application, you are required by law to issue an adverse action letter. This is required by the FCRA. Anytime you pull an application or an applicant's background and credit check, you are required to issue them an adverse action letter. And this is a mistake that a lot of people don't do, and it's a very dangerous and very costly mistake that can end up costing you very real amounts of money. So basically, an adverse action letter is simply a simple letter stating, we thank you for applying for our rental. We didn't approve you for the rental due to finding blah, 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 blah. We recommend a very generic one, which you can find them online. But again, you want to make sure that you are following not just the federal, but any state requirements as far as adverse action letters when it comes to a rental property as well. Number 10, onboarding a new and approved tenant for the first time. This is where a lot of landlords make a big mistake as well, which is you've gone through this entire process, this entire marketing process for your rental. You've found this great tenant and you've approved them. They've signed the lease and now they're ready to move in. And on move-in day, everything falls apart because you were not prepared with everything you needed to have prepared in advance. Or maybe the tenant got there and the lock on the door was jammed, or maybe they got there and overnight somebody had broken into your rental property, or maybe something in the rental unit backed up or flooded, or maybe the refrigerator isn't working, or. There's 1,000 scenarios, and I've experienced, and I say all these things, and I think looking back that I've actually had that experience with every single one of those happening the day of a rental move-in. And so whatever you think won't happen to you, it's going to happen to you. and it's going to happen to your renter. And so the best thing that you can do is to make sure that that entire move-in process, that onboarding process, is as easy as possible. So again, we've discussed a lot of these things in our podcasts over the past year or two. But one of the things that you can do is you can go and you can, the morning of, you can personally in person or somebody else, if you have somebody else handling your move-in process or your cleaning or whatever, go in the morning of the move-in to make sure that nothing is going crazy overnight, because chances are something has. And so you want to make sure that the unit is clean. You want to make sure that there aren't any bugs on the floor. You want to make sure that nobody broke into the rental. You want to make sure that it everything works. Check all the appliances, turn on all the lights, make sure no light bulbs went out, turn on all the switches, make sure there isn't a short, all of that good stuff. You want to make sure that you're doing your rental before that person arrives with the keys to open up the door, only to come across something that, oh great, I have to deal with this on top of moving in today. This is such a pain. And they have to put in a maintenance request on day one of moving into your rental, which to them, it's a new rental. It's a new home. It's new to them. And they really don't want to deal with all of that stuff. They don't want to put in a maintenance request on their first day into the rental. So making sure that all of that stuff is good to go is a great idea. In fact, I always recommend actually going with somebody to the rental to, again, make sure that the door opens, make sure that nothing's happened, make sure I've literally had pins in a lock drop between the time that I was there in the morning and the time that I handed them the keys and an hour or two later when they arrived there with their moving truck to go into the rental. The pins in the lock had dropped, brand new locks. It's crazy. It doesn't happen a lot, but it's always, like I said, it's that one thing that you think will never happen, it's gonna happen. And so you can't obviously stop everything from happening, everything bad or negative from happening in this process. But my bottom line is that you wanna make sure that you're making that process as easy and as simple and as streamlined as possible. Remove all of the negative experiences as much as possible from the new move-in, because the easier you make it for them, the more pleasant you make it for them, then the better off that your entire relationship with that new tenant is going to start off. And if they do have a problem, it's very imperative that you take action immediately and address that issue immediately that day as quick as possible, because you also will show that you're responsive to their needs and they're not going to be second guessing, should I really have rented here, because this person has not come here and I've had this issue for 3 days. It was here when I got here and now it's been 3 days. They still haven't resolved it. Have I made a mistake? Should I be looking to get out of my lease? It's a bad way to start a relationship with the tenant. So highly recommend that you really focus on that move-in process. Have a move-in welcome gift. Could be something as simple as a bag with household necessities like soap and toilet paper and dishwasher detergent and anything like that at all the basics, stuff that people forget when they're in the move-in process, or maybe they it was left behind in their laundry room or something like that, and they get there and they want to go do laundry that night after they move in and they're like, oh man, I gotta run out to the store and get it, but nope, because my awesome landlord put it in a gift bag sitting on the countertop, I'm good to go. So little stuff like that also can make a really big impact on new tenants and really help with that onboarding process early on and establish a really, really positive relationship with your tenants. So that wraps up our top 10 list for our effective and proven marketing process to help prevent landlord nightmares. I guarantee that if you really put some emphasis on each of those steps of the process, that it'll really make your life a lot easier as a landlord. So without further ado, thanks for taking time to listen to this podcast. And we hope that you have found value in the time that you've spent listening to it. And if so, definitely share this with any friends, colleagues, or family members who you think might benefit from it. Anybody who you know who is a landlord or in the real estate industry, any real estate agents, anybody at all, definitely feel free to share it with them. And thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.